Good morning. The scripture reading today is obviously Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Thank you. You may be seated.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, as we continue through Ephesians chapter 4 about the mind. In 1980, Dr. Tim LaHaye wrote the book, The Battle for the Mind, and it was a very, very good book. And from that book, I'd just like to read a brief quotation from Dr. LaHaye, who really recently went home to be with the Lord. Your brain is the most complex mechanism in the world and the most influential organ of your body. It accounts for your ability to think, remember, love, hate, feel, reason, imagine, and analyze. The average brain, weighing about 3 pounds, contains 12 billion cells, each of which is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, thereby totaling 120 trillion brain connections. No wonder, as scientists stated, the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. End of quote. And it really shouldn't surprise us then that the brain, our mind, our thinking is critical in living the Christian life. It really shouldn't surprise us in light of those facts. How can we think right? What are some things that we can do to think right so that we will live right? Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 20, we see some final principles that will help us to think right so that we can live right. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I thought we would review a little bit from where we were last week, because it's a part one, part two, and they're connected, obviously. So let's just look at a few of the things that we talked about last week that really bleeds over into the principles of thinking right so that we can live right this week. Number one, we saw last week that we do not want to resist the truth. We don't want to resist the truth. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. He's basically saying, do not live your lives the way unsaved Gentiles, unsaved people do, and the way you used to live before you came to Christ. He goes on then and talks about the futility of their minds, how unsaved people think, how we thought for years before we came to Christ. And he's saying, don't think that way anymore. And the way you thought was a resistance to the truth, suppressing the truth, holding the truth down, not allowing the truth to influence how you think, and therefore how you live. Don't do that. Do not resist the truth. Instead, verse 20, as we saw last week, receive the truth. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn and come to Jesus by resisting the truth. That's not how it worked. As you were coming to Christ, as you at the moment of salvation, but you have not so learned Christ by resisting the truth. No, you received the truth. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Yeah. Instead, you need to receive the truth as you did when you were first saved. And there was never a time in our life when we loved the truth more than we did when we first came to Christ. We loved the gospel. It saved our soul. It taught us about the truth which is in Jesus. And it made us new creations. And we had the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And everything changed and we loved the truth that transformed us. And so we need to have that same kind of love for the truth and allow it to inform our thinking the way we did when we first came to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, Peter testified and he exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They gladly received the truth, those who were saved. That sounds right, doesn't it? And that's the way it is when we first, we gladly receive the truth. We're eager to let the truth transform us and to change our thinking. In Acts chapter 8, we have another positive response to Jesus' gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. That would have been something, huh? And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. When the gospel is received and it changes people's lives, there is great joy. We receive it with gladness. We receive the gospel with great joy as well. And that's the way we want to be now. We don't want to be resistant to the truth. We want to gladly receive the truth. We want to think not the way we did before we came to Christ. We want to think the way we did when we came to Christ. We received the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, that's a review of some of the things that we looked at last week. Let's go through some new material. Don't resist the truth, receive the truth. Remember that you put off the old man. Another thing that we want to do. You have to look very carefully at the language here in the 22nd verse of Ephesians 4, that you put off, that verb put off, does that sound past tense, present tense, future tense? That you put off, it's past tense. That's past tense. Yeah. And that's what it is in the Greek. It's in the aorist tense. That you put off in the past, when you were saved, at the moment of salvation, concerning your former conduct. Let's stop right there. The old man. You put off the old man concerning your former conduct. The old man is who we were before we came to Christ. And we put him off. The word put off is used in the New Testament to describe putting off or getting rid of your clothing, taking your clothes off. And when we came to Christ, an easy way to say it is we repented. And who we were before we came to Christ, that same person no longer exists. He was put off. He was gotten rid of. He no longer exists. And that interpretation is confirmed by the phrase you put off concerning your former conduct. And when we had the old man, our former conduct really was incapable of pleasing the Lord in any way, shape, or form. We were incapable of doing the right things for the right reason. We couldn't do that. So sin-bent were we. The theologians call it being totally depraved. We were totally depraved. In Romans chapter 6, just to kind of buttress what I'm saying, a classic passage, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we sin so that we could experience forgiveness and God's grace? Certainly not. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Dead to sin. We no longer have to respond to sin. We can say no to sin. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When we were placed in Christ at the moment of salvation, his physical death became our spiritual death. In other words, our old man was put to death. Take a look at verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Jesus was raised physically. We were raised spiritually. We got eternal life. For if we have been united together with the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection also. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Crucified means dead. So our old man is dead. He no longer exists. He no longer controls us. In Colossians chapter 3, just to reiterate that point, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, all these are sins that are pretty much connected to the tongue. Okay? Do not lie to one another, another tongue sin, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice again the tense of the verb. You have put off the old man with his deeds. And therefore, we no longer have to say things that we once said. We can control our tongue a lot more frequently than we could before we came to Christ. Now, if we have put off the old man, why do we still sin? Anybody here still sin? Still struggle with sin? Yeah, why is that true? Well, there's two reasons. According to Galatians 5, we have this thing called the flesh, the sinful part of us, the sinful bent. We still have a self-centered bent. And number two, dealing with the old man, although we put off the old man, he still has an effect, a lingering effect. In other words, we have an old man hangover. We have an old man hangover. For me, I came to Christ and was wonderfully saved when I was 21 years old. That meant for 21 years, I had a thought pattern, a way of thinking that was only sinful. Even the good thoughts that I have about doing good things towards other people was tainted by the fact that I had impure motives, incapable of having a right thought. So for 21 years, I thought, my old man thought, yucky thoughts. I come to Christ and I put off the old man. He no longer is in control, but the hangover effects of 21 years of wrong thinking are still there. You know what a hangover is? Somebody drinks one night, they wake up the next morning. They're not drinking the next morning, but oh, do they feel the effects, the lingering effects of the night before, right? We've got lingering effects from the old man. That's one of the reasons why we still sin. But we no longer have to be controlled by the old man the way we were before we came to Christ. We can say no to sin at any given moment of time. I don't have to get mad. I don't have to be proud. I don't have to be envious. I don't have to lust. I can say no at this point in time because the old man no longer controls me. That's a good thing to think when we talk about how we're going to think. Don't you think? Furthermore, we want to renew our minds. Don't want to resist the truth. Receive the truth. We want to receive the truth. We want to remember that we put off the old man. Oh, those desires deceive us. They promise much. I'm sorry. I missed the blanks, which is a mortal sin if I was Catholic, right? Those desires deceive us. They promise much. They're deceitful according to our text in verse 22. It grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Sin promises a lot, but only delivers guilt and shame. Let's go to renew your mind. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word renewed, the tense of the verb, would indicate continually be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our minds need repaired. Our minds need repaired. Isn't it interesting he calls it the spirit of your mind? Why does he do that? I believe because our spirit, that is who we really are, the part that's going to go up to heaven if we're saved through faith alone and Christ alone, or is going to be separated and go to hell, that spirit, who we really are, is located up here. But if a brain surgeon went and he began to have a surgery on our brain, he couldn't see it because our spirit is invisible, right? But if you ever wondered where your spirit is, right, it's here. It's the spirit of your mind. And it directs our thinking. And so again, it shouldn't surprise us that spiritually, our mind is important because that's where our spirit is located. And that spirit of our mind needs to be repaired. It needs to be renewed. It's a lot like out on Market Avenue. Isn't it a wonderful repair job? It's really going to be beautiful, isn't it? It's taken a while, but it's going to be beautiful. That's our mind. Our minds need to be repaired. They're kind of broken. Mind thought nothing but improper thoughts for 21 long years. And with the flesh still active, it can still think some wrong thoughts. And so it needs to be repaired. It needs to be renewed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're familiar perhaps with this. It's a beautiful text, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man, our body is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Our inner man, our thinking needs to be renewed daily, every day. That's where the battle is. Dr. LaHaye's book, The Battle for the Mind. He got it. He nailed it. Did he not? Our inner man, our thinking needs to be renewed daily. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Romans 12, 2. Let's put it this way. If we take a day off and we do not renew our minds with the Word of God, we just take an entire day off, our thinking will be stinking and our thoughts will rot. You go 24 hours, don't be exposed to the Word of God. Your thinking will be stinking and your thoughts will rot. I guarantee it. I mean, that's how much repair work, renewing, to make new again. We need to keep making new again our thinking. We need to be thinking God's thoughts. Does that make sense? And the more we think God's thoughts, the better we will live, the better our attitude will be, the better our behavior will be, the better our motivation will be, the better our priorities will be, and yes, the better our decision-making will be. And so we need to have our thoughts made new again, or our thoughts will rot and our thinking will be stinking. And I propose, I really think if you're like me, I need a plan to do something like that. You know the old saying, if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it every time? It really is true when it comes to renewing our minds. Need a definitive, concrete plan, whatever that plan might be. Let's go to a few verses. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm going to go to a few verses beyond the one that's fill in the blank, if that's okay. I was just noticing some things last night, and I thought, well, let me add these to the sermon. Psalm 119, verse 9, classic text. How can a young man cleanse his way? Boy, young guys, I mean, we all need it. Old, middle-aged guys. But young guys really need to cleanse their way, right? I mean, you know, flee also youthful lust, Timothy says in 2 Timothy 2:22. How can a young man of all people cleanse his way? Well, by taking heed according to your word. He really needs to be in your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How am I going to not sin against you? Well, I need verses hidden in my heart. They're going to cry out and say to me, Joe, you're thinking wrong. Joe, you're getting ready to do something wrong. Joe, you're getting ready to say something wrong. I need that. Psalm 119. Verse 112. I've inclined. Notice that word. I have inclined. I've purposely bent. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I've made sure I've tried to bend my heart towards doing what your word says. It's just, that's what I've been trying to do. That's been the resolve and purpose of my heart. I love Ezra 7:10. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. He prepared his heart. He had to give himself a little pep talk before he did it. And so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. I'm going to seek his law. I'm going to study it. I'm going to do it and I'm going to teach it. Yeah, it's very, very practical to have a plan. I know for years, and I know it was tied to the old man. I know it. I really struggled with a performance-based Christianity. Came to Christ, wonderfully saved, completely transformed. Okay, just like, whoa. But in order to please my Heavenly Father, whom I loved in a fresh way, new way, like nothing I'd ever experienced, I felt like I needed to do a bunch of stuff. It just was in there. Part of it, the way God wired me. Part of it because I was the oldest, three boys. Part of it, I think, because of my upbringing. Performance, doing, being devoted, being obedient, being successful was important. Years went like that. I don't struggle with that anymore. I can go down that path for 3 to 5 seconds, and then a verse will come to my mind. Nothing, Joe, will separate you from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Joe, you are accepted in the Beloved One. You're as near and dear to God the Father as God the Son. When he looks down at you, he sees Jesus. You are a child of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. You, Joe, are a child of God. Nothing can change that. You're no longer a child of darkness. You're a child of light. You are, quote unquote, according to the scriptures, the apple of his eye. There's nothing you could do or say that would make him more pleased with you. God is absolutely crazy about you because when he looks down at you, he sees Jesus. But the mind has to think those thoughts, right? Because otherwise, I know what my mind is going to think. I thought that way for years after I came to Christ. And so we need a plan. We need a plan that says, okay, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And here's my Bible schedule, and I'm going to do it. Yeah, nothing's going to get in the way. I'm going to memorize one verse per week. I'm going to memorize 52 verses this year. I'm going to study the Bible 3 days a week for 1 hour. 3 hours a week, I'm going to study the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go online and I'm going to hear a message from my favorite pastor, Pastor Joe. I'm going to listen to Pastor Joe at least twice a week. Or whoever. We got to have a plan. or the mind won't get repaired. It'll stay broken. I know. And so we want to don't want to resist the truth. We want to receive the truth like we did when we first came to Christ. We want to remember that we put off the old man. Oh, he still affects us, but it's not domination and control. We need to, above all, renew our minds. And finally, remember that you put on the new man. Didn't just put off the old man. You put on the new man, verse 24. And that you put on the new man. Again, past tense of the verb. You in the past put on the new man. That was the clothing that you put on. And the new man is who we are now in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've become new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. That's who we became when we accepted Christ, the moment we accepted Jesus. New desires, new aims, new inclinations. Yeah. So remember, you put on the new man who was created according to God. This new man is like God. It's like God, this new man, in true or genuine righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness that's from the inside out. Perfect? No, but certainly really, really different. Really, really different. So when somebody says somebody got saved and their life hasn't changed at all, I'm like, how? 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 In 2 Peter, again, I just thought I'd add this in just last night as I was reviewing the message. Hebrews, James, Peter. 2 Peter. Remember, it said it's made according to God, this new man. Listen carefully to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power, God's power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. Wow. So he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. By which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers or sharers of the divine nature. We share God's divine nature, a nature that aspires to true or genuine holiness and righteousness. It's an inside-out kind of righteousness and holiness that we long for and we really want to have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, great verse. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the face of Jesus, and we're in his word, and the Spirit of God takes the word of God, and he makes us more righteous from the inside out, which is the only real kind of righteousness. And we've got this new man who longs to become more like Jesus. I don't know of any shortcuts to become more like Christ. I wish I knew a shortcut. Give me a pill, a multivitamin, glorious, more like Jesus pill. There isn't anything out there. But it all starts up here, doesn't it? It starts with our thinking. It starts with our mind. Lord, we pray that you would help us to think right so that we can live right. We are grateful, Lord, that you accept us just as we are, with all of our shortcomings and how we aren't all of what you would want us to be. And yet you're still crazy about us. And we're grateful, Lord God, for that. Help us to not go down a path of negative thinking, of thinking about ourselves, of thinking about others, or most importantly, thinking about you in a way that is just erroneous, because it doesn't do anything for us good spiritually. Help us, Father God, to have a plan. And then just by your grace and with your help, to remain disciplined to that plan, to renew our minds. Because like the road work outside in front of us, we need repair work, Father. And we need it. We need it every day. So help us to get the renewal from your truth that helps us to think right. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.